Welcome to Brave, the Bible teaching ministry of Dr. Jeff Swarzentraw, senior pastor of Brave Church in Denver, Colorado. Today on Brave, Pastor Jeff concludes his message, Ministering Priests, from the series Exodus, and shows you that God's instructions for priests weren't just about tradition. They pointed to Christ and God's plan for worship and salvation. Before we get started with today's teaching, though, we invite you to check out PastorJeff.com to find more resources to help you grow in your walk. And be sure to sign up for Pastor Jeff's weekly email devotion to receive encouragement right in your inbox. Now let's hear from Pastor Jeff as he brings us today's teaching from God's Word.
The only thing that you will see bare in this entire section are the feet of the priests. Everything else is covered. And the reason the feet stay bare is why? Because they're standing on holy ground. That's it. So he's telling them from the top of their head to the bottom of their feet, including their undergarments, here's how you need to come before me. Why? Because everything needs to be covered correctly. Everything needs to reflect my glory. When Jesus Christ came, did he wear a turban? He wore a crown of thorns on his head. When Jesus Christ came, he was covered all over, but he was covered in scars and he was covered in bruises. And the great high priest was sacrificed on a cross, so that 3 days later he could get up out of the dead and he could minister and be our mediator, the one true God of the universe. That's what these clothing represent. That's what these colors represent. It was that one day the Messiah is coming. There'll be no more need for a high priest, because what Jesus Christ did on the cross, he just did everything that the high priest was modeling for the nation. Jesus Christ accomplished once and for all. Amen? And this is what we see here. And we see how Jesus Christ is our representative. He demonstrates God's heart. He demonstrates God's direction. We know through Christ how God feels about the world. We know through Christ how he loves the world. And he demonstrated that by dying on the cross. We know direction from Jesus by reading his word of what he expects from us. And that's what he wanted us to see today. That we're his ambassadors. We're his representatives. As though Jesus were making his appeal through us. And because Jesus is our great high priest, we're representatives of him. Why? Because in the New Testament, we don't have the temple anymore. We don't have the tabernacle anymore. What do we have? If you've trusted Christ, your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. He's the one ministering all these things through you. And if you're listening to this today, say, thank goodness, I don't have to live like that. I don't have to be that kind of holy priest, set apart and all these kind of things. No, you do, because this is what Jesus Christ modeled for you and represented for you. Amen? Jesus Christ is our minister. He's our mediator. We see his heart. We see his direction. As we get into chapter 29, notice this. God chose priests to be consecrated servants without any distractions. God chose his priests to be consecrated servants without any distractions. It means he wanted them solo focused on him. Notice chapter 29, verse 1. Now this is what the Lord shall do to them to consecrate them to minister as priests to me. Take one young bull and two rams without blemish and unleavened bread and unleavened cakes with oil and unleavened wafers spread with oil, and you shall make them with wheat flour. You shall put them in one basket and you shall present the basket along with the bull and two rams. You shall bring Aaron and his sons to the doorway of the tent of meeting and you shall wash them with water. In other words, before they put on the garments, ceremonially they need to be clean too. I mean, we're going through this ritual to demonstrate how pure you need to be in the presence of God. Verse 5. You shall then take the garments and put on Aaron the tunic and the robe of the ephod and the breastpiece, and gird him with a skillfully woven band of the ephod. And you shall set a turban on his head and put the holy crown on the turban. Then you shall take the anointing oil and pour it on his head and anoint him. Now, what is this anointing oil for? This anointing oil is how God's going to have the minister. In the Old Testament, the oil oftentimes represents the Holy Spirit and his ministry. And we know that the Holy Spirit's ministry is to magnify the resurrected Christ. This oil is a symbol of pouring this over this minister's life so that he magnifies the resurrected Christ even better. Verse 8, you shall bring his sons and put tunics on them. You shall gird them with sashes, Aaron and his sons, and bind caps on them. And they shall have the priesthood by a perpetual statute. And you shall ordain Aaron and his sons. What does God want? Consecrated servants to God without any distraction. Consecrated means to be set apart. It means to be holy. It means to be unlike any other. And you might say, well, praise God, I'm not called to the ministry. Well, let me tell you what the New Testament tells you. in Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. It says, therefore, I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living and holy sacrifice acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. Living sacrifice seems like an oxymoron, right? If you're a sacrifice, you're dead. All sacrifices die. He says, be a living sacrifice. What does that mean? That means when you come to Christ, you die to you and you allow Christ to live through you. So you've made a choice to die. That's why Paul says, I've already been crucified with Christ. No longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. For me to live is Christ, to die is gain. I've already died. As a Christian, spiritually, because you are dead in your sins, when you trust Christ, you've already died to sin and you've been raised to life with Christ. You've been seated in the heavenly places. And what does God want from you? He wants your life to reflect him wholeheartedly. Whether you're called to serve in a local church or outside the local church, there are myriads of occupations that you can serve and give God glory 24/7. Myriads. It just means in whatever your occupation is or whatever your season of life is that you're in, that you may only be in for a couple of months or a couple of years, in that season, how do you glorify God with everything you have right now? And if you were to say, I can't glorify God in the job I'm doing right now, here's what God would tell you. Then quit your job and go find one that you can. Because God wants your whole service. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added. God wants your wholehearted allegiance. In the same way priests, high priests and priests were ordained in the Old Testament to be set apart completely for God, that's what he's calling us to be. The high priest didn't have, well, you know, Saturdays I'll go into the tabernacle, I'll go into the temple, I'll serve God, but you know, Monday through Friday I'm gonna be a football coach, or Monday through Friday I'm gonna do some paralegal work. No, you're set apart to do this. What are you set apart to do? You're set apart for the gospel of God. You're set apart to share the good news. You're set apart to go into all the world and teach the gospel. That's what you're set apart to do. And you can do it in a myriad of settings. It doesn't mean that you're called to church in the sense of taking a paycheck from the church, but all of us are called to Christ himself, and all of us are in the body of Christ, and all of us are called to serve him to the full. Amen? That's what he was telling us. And as he goes back and he starts highlighting what this looks like in chapter 29, he starts showing this is what a big deal it is. He's going to talk about a bull and two rams that they're going to need. And this would be the part that you would skip over. So we're going to go through it fast, okay? Now notice what he's going to say. He says, then you shall bring the bull before the tent of meeting, and Aaron and his sons shall lay their hands on the head of the bull. By laying their hands on the head of the bull, they're symbolically transferring their sin to that bull. You shall slaughter the bull before the Lord at the doorway of the tent of meeting. You shall take some of the blood of the bull and put it on the horns of the altar with your finger, and you shall pour out all the blood at the base of the altar. You shall take all the fat that covers the entrails and the lobe of the liver and the two kidneys and the fat that is on them and offer them up in smoke on the altar. But the flesh of the bull and its hide and its refuse, you shall burn with fire outside the camp. It is a sin offering. You shall also take one ram, and Aaron and his son shall lay their hands on the head of the ram, again, symbolically transferring sin, and you shall slaughter the ram, and shall take all its blood and sprinkle it around the altar. Then you shall cut the ram into pieces and wash its entrails and legs and put them with its pieces and its head. You shall offer up in smoke the whole ram on the altar. It is a burnt offering to the Lord. It is a soothing aroma, an offering by fire to the Lord. Then you shall take the other ram. This is the second ram. And Aaron and his son shall lay their hands on the head of that ram. You shall slaughter the ram and take some of the blood and put it on the lobe of Aaron's right ear and on the lobe of his son's right ears and on the thumbs of his right hand and on the big toes of their right feet and sprinkle the rest of the blood around the altar. Then you shall take some of the blood that is on the altar and some of the anointing oil and sprinkle it on Aaron and on his garments and on his sons and on his sons' garments with him so that he and his garments shall be consecrated as well with his sons' garments with him. Take a deep breath. Excited about that? Now think about this for a second. Why does God tell Moses to go into all this grand detail? We've lost a bull and two rams in those verses. What would that have been like? I mean, if we were gonna reenact that sacrifice here this morning, what would that have looked like? I mean, you bring a bull up here and have to slaughter it. How long is that gonna take? What kind of sounds are you gonna hear? How much blood is gonna be spilled? How are you gonna get all that stuff out of the bull and sacrifice this outside the camp and burn all this? And then we're going to do the same with the ram. And then we're going to do it again with the ram. And oh, by the way, if you are the one who was the seamstress for all the garments or the tailor that put them all together, what you're going to notice when they're done is then they're going to take a bunch of that blood after putting it on the altar and on the right thumb and on the right big toe. And what are they going to do? They're going to take that and anointing oil and take all the blood and all the oil and throw it all over the garments that you just spent all that time doing. How would you feel about that?
You're listening to Brave, and today Pastor Jeff is sharing his message, Ministering Priests, from the series Exodus, showing you that God's instructions for priests weren't just about tradition. They pointed to Christ and God's plan for worship and salvation. We'll get back to Pastor Jeff in just a moment, but first, make prayer a priority in 2025 with the 21 Days of Prayer Journal, designed to help you make the discipline of prayer a habit in your life. We'll send you the journal as thanks for your gift to support Brave today. Simply visit us at PastorJeff.com to give. Once again, that website is PastorJeff.com. Now let's get back to today's message and listen to the conclusion of this teaching from God's Word.
How would you feel about that? Now, why does God go into all this detail? Because without the shedding of blood, no one can approach God. And shedding of blood is serious business. And sin atonement was a big business. And if you lived in Israel at the time of the tabernacle, what you would have smelled all day long in the center of the nation is burning of animal flesh all day long, every day, which was soothing the Lord, saying, these people are taking serious their sin, and these people are sacrificing to me, and these people recognize the need for blood, and they recognize there's no other way to come to me except through the blood. And that's what you would have smelled all day long. And to think about being a priest, wasn't just an academic exercise. You had to slaughter animals. You had to burn animals. You had to field dress animals. I mean, some of you guys are hunters. You like to do all that and go out and field dress. And you'll tell me, Pastor Jeff, I was field dressing a deer and all that. Good for you. I went to the Avs game. It was more fun. But do you see how long it would take? I mean, it would take a long time. Why? Because sin is so pervasive in our life, and God wanted Israel to know sin is hindering your relationship with me. Moses, tell the people how great a big deal it is that blood has to cover their sin. And if you would have seen the millions and billions of animals that were sacrificed before Jesus and the gallons and oceans of blood that were spilled to cover sin, then you would understand when Jesus Christ went to the cross and shed his blood once and for all, what an awesome sacrifice that was. Amen? And that anybody that understood the holiness of God and anybody that recognized their sin would find a pathway through Jesus Christ into that holiness of God, because there is no other way to approach the holiness of God except through Jesus. And for those of you that are here today that say, well, I don't know that I believe that. I think I'll be fine. When you're dead, you will know that you were wrong for all eternity. And I'm persuading you and I'm warning you because I love you and because God loves you to repent of your sin and trust Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, because you do not want to stand before the holiness of God without your sin being cleansed. Amen? And if you haven't done that, do it right now, right where you're sitting. Tell God, I'm sorry for my sin and I need you, Jesus, as my covering. I need you to cleanse me from my sin. And he will wash you clean right now. Notice what he says. He's going to go on. Verse 22, you shall also take the fat from the ram and the fat tail and the fat that covers the entrails and the lobe of the liver and the two kidneys and the fat that is on them and the right thigh, for it is a ram of ordination. And a cake of bread and one cake of bread mixed with oil and one wafer from the basket of the unleavened bread which is set before the Lord. And you shall put all these in the hands of Aaron and in the hands of his son and shall wave them as a wave offering before the Lord. You shall take them from their hands and offer them up in smoke on the altar on the burnt offering for a soothing aroma before the Lord. It is an offering by fire to the Lord. Then you shall take the breast of Aaron's ram for ordination and wave it as a wave offering before the Lord, and it shall be your portion. And you shall consecrate the breast of the wave offering and the thigh of the heave offering, which was waved and which was offered from the ram of ordination, from the one which was for Aaron and from the one which was for his sons, and it shall be for Aaron and his sons and their portion forever from the sons of Israel, for it is a heave offering, and it shall be a heave offering from the sons of Israel from the sacrifices of their peace offerings, even their heave offering to the Lord. Now, what is all this? I mean, now they're going to take this offering, and there's a methodology for how they're going to wave it before the Lord to show you're my provider. and a heave offering where they're going to lift it up and down saying, you're the one that's brought me peace. Why go through all these motions? Because they're demonstrating something on the outside to show what God wants to do for them as a nation. Great detail in how God is displaying, here's how I want my worship done. And friends, this is just for ordination. I mean, that's why when we fast forward in chapters, two of Aaron's sons are going to die because they were in the tabernacle playing with strange fire. They were goofing around. And God's holy, and he doesn't like his holiness being taken for granted. That's why when David brought the ark back to Jerusalem and it was going to tip and Uzzah reached out and touched it, he wasn't of the right tribe. He shouldn't have been carting it on a wheel anyway. And he died immediately. And we're like, oh, what a mean God. No, what a holy God. People in our culture ask the wrong question. They ask this question, how could a loving God send people to hell? Well, your made up loving God wouldn't. Here's the bigger question. How could the holy God of the Bible ever welcome even one person into his presence? And here's his answer, through the shed blood of Jesus Christ, and that's the only way, and you better come through him. That's why he's going in great detail to understand so that Israel will know there's only one way to me, and I'm holy and you're not. And this is the way that we can relate to one another. Verse 29, the holy garments of Aaron shall be for his sons after him, that in them they may be anointed and even ordained for 7 days. The one of his sons who is a priest in his stead shall put them on when he enters the tent of meeting to minister in the holy place. So this ordination was going to last 7 days. If it wasn't Aaron that was going to be in there that day, whatever son was had to wear the same clothing, had to be covered in the same blood. They had to go through the same ritual and routine. Why? Because God has a specific way that he wants to be approached. But God also provides for those that serve him. Notice what he says in verse 31. You shall take the ram of ordination and boil its flesh in a holy place. Aaron and his sons shall eat the flesh of a ram and the bread that is in the basket at the doorway of the tent of meeting. They shall eat those things by which atonement was made at their ordination and consecration. But a layman shall not eat them because they are holy. If any of the flesh of the ordination or any of the bread remains until morning, then you shall burn the remainder with fire. It shall not be eaten because it is holy. Thus you shall do to Aaron and his sons according to all that I've commanded you. You shall ordain them through 7 days. Each of you shall offer a bull and a sin offering for atonement, and you shall purify the altar when you make atonement for it, and you shall anoint it and consecrate it for 7 days. You shall make atonement for the altar and consecrate it. Then the altar shall be most holy, and whatever touches the altar shall be holy. Do you see how holy our God is? I mean, if I were Moses, I would think, man, I'm going to cliff note this. I mean, there's a couple points here we need to make. I mean, Moses is going to go back. He's going to spell all of this out for the people. And anytime there's an ordination, this is what's going to go on. And this bull needs to be sacrificed. And these two rams need to be sacrificed. And they need to be sacrificed in this way. And your clothing needs to be covered with blood and with oil. And don't worry, God is your provider. He's going to provide you with the meat that you need. He's going to provide you with the bread that you need. He'll take care of all of that. If you're going to serve him, he'll take care of you. What's the translation for today? If you serve God with everything you have, he'll take care of you. If you give God your best, he will take care of you. If you consecrate yourself unto the Lord, he will take care of you. Even when you say, well, if I do that, how's this going to work out? He will take care of you. His job is to take care of you. Your job is to worship him and tell other people about our King Jesus. Amen? That's what he's trying to show us. Now, here we see in Jesus' life, Jesus was baptized by John the Baptist in the Jordan to identify himself with his father. He then went out and was tempted in the wilderness for 40 days. And then he came back as an anointed servant of the Lord, as the Holy Spirit descended upon him after his baptism. And he went out and did what? Everything that we've been talking about. He ministered to the people. He mediated to the people. He was the one who was with the people. He was a representative of God's heart and God's direction. He told people how God felt about every different thing. He directed the people. He was a consecrated servant that didn't have any other distractions. Many of us in our life have so many distractions that even though we'd say we love God, we're way too busy to love God. We're way too busy to give God our best. I'm a sinner just like you. I love the Lord. And there's times in my life where I still get busy doing things that are meaningless, that don't give God my best. And I remember when God was calling me to ministry, to serve him as a pastor and a preacher, that I would think, I don't want to do, I'll do that on the side. I'll preach, I'll teach. But here's what I want my life to be. And I want you to bless that, God. Because I had that false lie in my head that if I go all in with God this way, I'm not going to be happy on the inside. Maybe I won't be provided for. Maybe I won't enjoy this. Here's the truth. Whatever God prompts you to do, whenever God prompts you to do it. If you walk in obedience, he always provides, he always protects, and he's always there ministering, showing you what the next step looks like. And the greatest joy you can ever experience in your life is living in full obedience and full surrender to the Lord Jesus Christ, regardless of what your vocation or lot in life is, regardless of what your socioeconomic background looks like, regardless of what nation you're in, regardless if you're a male or a female. Whatever you are in Christ, God wants you to be the fullness of that by putting Jesus Christ first. Amen? Now, here's where we're going to get to the final point. As we wrap up these verses, you guys have done great. I mean, we're doing like 89 verses today or something like that. Here's what you see here, finally, is that God chose priests to be models for sin's atonement and for God's presence. The high priest was a model for what sin's atonement looked like and for God's presence. Notice verse 38. Now, this is what you shall offer on the altar when you're going to make an offering. 2 one-year-old lambs each day continuously. There shall be one lamb you shall offer in the morning, and the other lamb you shall offer at twilight. And there shall be 1/10 of an ephah of fine flour mixed with 1/4 of a hin of beaten oil and 1/4 of a hin of wine, a drink offering with one lamb. When John the Baptist saw Jesus, what did he say? Behold, the Lamb of God that does what? Takes away the sin of the world. Until Jesus came, a lamb was offered in the morning and a lamb was offered at night. When Jesus Christ came, he was the Lamb of God that was offered at twilight. This is foreshadowing to what Christ would do once and for all. There would be no longer a need to sacrifice a lamb every morning and every night because the Passover lamb, the true lamb, the Lord Jesus Christ would give his life and shed his blood once and for all the people. 1 John 4:10 says, this is love. Not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his son as an atoning sacrifice or a propitiation for our sin. Then he says this. He says, it shall be a continual burnt offering throughout all generations at the doorway of the tent of meeting before the Lord, where I will meet with you and speak to you there. So, man, I'd love to have the Lord meet me and speak with me. Guess what? Through our great high priest, he'll still meet with you and speak with you. That's what he does. Through his atonement, we can experience God's presence. God speaks through his living and active word, all 66 books that make up this Bible. He speaks through it. Sometimes he speaks through other believers. Sometimes he speaks through our circumstance. Sometimes he speaks subjectively to our heart and lets us know what it aligns with the word. That's what we know. Notice what he says next. It will be there with the sons of Israel. I will meet there with the sons of Israel, and it shall be consecrated by my glory. I will consecrate the tent of meeting and the altar. I will also consecrate Aaron and his sons to minister as priests to me. I will dwell among the sons of Israel and be their God. They shall know that I am the Lord their God, who brought them out of the land of Egypt, that I might dwell among them. I am the Lord their God. Now, if you're with me today and you're like, man, what the heck was that about today? You know, I came into church today and I have burdens. I have burdens as a single person. I wonder where my spouse is and how come God's not providing. I came in as a married person today and my marriage is really having a tough time. I came in because one of my children is wayward. I came in because we're having a financial crisis. I came in today because things aren't going very well in my life and relationships are blowing up. And I came in hopes that you would tell me something that would help me. I just did. I just told you that our holy God, who is completely unapproachable, who is a consuming fire, loved you so much and had your name on his heart that he sent Jesus Christ to be the fulfillment of everything that you would ever need. He died on the cross for your sins. He rose from the dead. Through repentance of your sin and faith in Jesus, you have pure access to God, full access to God, where you can come freely and boldly before the throne of grace. You can ask him anything you want, and he will meet with you. Amen? That's what this text is about. That's what our God does. So at the end of the day, you might not be able to draw a picture of priestly garments, and you might not remember all the pieces that are there, and that doesn't matter. What matters is you know the one who represented those pieces, the Lord Jesus Christ, who came and carried the burden for you. The one that it says about in 2 Corinthians 5:21, that God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God.
Thanks for listening to Brave. That was Pastor Jeff with his message, Ministering Priests, from the series Exodus, showing you that God's instructions for priests weren't just about tradition, They pointed to Christ and God's plan for worship and salvation. Before we let you go, we want to remind you to request your copy of the 21 Days of Prayer Journal, designed to help you make prayer a daily habit this year. When you give a gift to support Brave, visit PastorJeff.com to give and request your copy. That's PastorJeff.com. While you're there, be sure to sign up for email updates from Brave to be among the first to hear about new resources to equip you in your walk. Thank you again for joining us today.